as we're into the 8 o'clock hour, a little bit late, we apologize because of the JJ Watt interview. My main takeaway from what JJ told us was his response to Seth about his workouts early in his career versus later in his career. Yep. When Seth, you asked him, would he do anything differently? And he basically said no, because those workouts, you know, made him what he was. And it's hard to know what the future is going to be. And he is somebody who is a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, which is almost unprecedented in NFL history.
He was completely balls to the wall in his earlier workouts, like box jumps and crazy tire flips and all that stuff. And
Fort Minor in the background.
What's that?
Yes. Fort Minor in
the
background.
Yeah, yeah. You got out like, and also, I don't know, probably 10% like
10% effort, 100% pain.
He's probably doing stuff off video where he's like chasing
chickens?
Coyotes through the woods,
coyotes,
and strangling them with his hands and all this stuff. And that it's somewhere along the line, especially after you have all those surgeries and his back injuries, he had to change his workouts and do something that was easier to the body. And he's still just as intense as he's ever been, just not with all the kind of idiotic, I shouldn't say idiotic, all the crazy aggressive stuff that's putting more stress on your body. It's a hard line to walk, because part of it is just like, you're 23 years old and you want to bash stuff. And that's kind of like, you're going to do the craziest, dumbest workouts you can find. I would say, if you can convince guys to not be quite so aggressive when they're younger, it can serve them well when they're older. But it's kind of like telling a 23-year-old not to do anything that a 23-year-old wants to do. They're going to go out and break stuff and bash things because they're boys.
Yes.
So, I think like whatever was supposed to happened with JJ. And earlier in his career, he did a lot of stuff like to the extreme, where you're always right on the fringe of overtraining. Like, you're right walking that fine line, and at times you're going to end up injured because of it. He can't afford to do that stuff anymore, yes, and he learned that lesson.
Plus, think about it this way. Let's say you were JJ Watt. I'd be thinking to myself, listen, even if it cost me 2016 and 2017, those complete seasons, basically, what I put up for 5 years is as great as any defensive player has ever played.
Yeah.
That is the thing that has made his legacy. So it's hard to go back on that and say, well, if I had done things differently, I may not have, you know, put up quite the all pros, but I would have stayed healthier for a longer duration, maybe not at quite the same heights. J.J. Watt, I don't care what they say in New York or Green Bay, they just don't know, or Philadelphia for that matter. J.J. Watt absolutely was on par with LT and with Reggie White during those 5 years, and it's hard to disagree with the idea that those workouts played some role, some factor in him reaching those kind of heights.
I could do like an hour long podcast on this and exactly like how I feel about it. Like, I personally don't think that he actually needed to do all that crazy stuff. A lot of the crazy stuff that personal trainers sell you on, there's actually like no backing in it whatsoever, and it's overkill. But that's like, I think the thing that made JJ really special early on was his actual work on the practice field and like the drill work that he does. His technique and the refinement of it was where that real true speed came from, more than the other stuff. But it was all part of the total package. Like, you do a lot of stuff that's relatively unhealthy when you're 23 years old, because you just got so much damn aggression and focus and drive. And you got to learn how to refine it along the way. So it's his stretch, like you just talked about, those three defensive MVPs, I don't care if it makes me a homer or what. Like, I've watched a whole lot of defensive football. From the time I started watching in earnest, like actually knowing what I was looking at in 1993, like the first year I was in college playing football, and I really started to understand what I was looking for when I was watching film, I've never seen a professional football player with the down-in, down-out impact of J.J. Watt at his peak.
Yes.
It doesn't happen at that position especially. It's never even been close to me. In the modern NFL, there hasn't been a defensive player at his peak that was as impactful on every single play as J.J. was.
I mean, the way I think of it is, and I don't know where Paul stands on it, but when I think of J.J., you guys know I grew up watching the Jets. Darrelle Revis in 2009 had one of the greatest seasons I've ever seen out of a defensive player. He was beaten out for Defensive Player of the Year by Charles Woodson, which was a total disgrace, and I love Charles Woodson. But Revis, he was just on a different planet. He was unbelievable. JJ, during those 4 to 5 years, was better than Revis, and it was over 4 to 5 years. That, to me, is the legacy when you think about those 5 years.
Yeah, Watt's the best defensive player I've ever seen, period. Not close. And I mean, I grew up watching the Patriots, so, and that was during their dynasty years. No one was anywhere close to that level. He is one of the best defenders of all time. And I think it's incredible that he was able to do what he did this past season. I mean, Mike and I, we definitely did not see it coming. We saw maybe this shades of the same player, but
I think we saw
dominant.
Solid.
He was dominant. He had 16 sacks. And, you know, you have to wonder, okay, well, what can he do this coming season too, where now he's got a full offseason to get ready for it? And also when it's an offseason where he's probably getting back to doing maybe not all of the things that he used to do, but some of the things that he used to do, because now he's not focusing on just making sure he can actually get on the field. Now he's focusing on how do I get my game to another level at age 30.
Real quick, Sean said last week on the Triple Threat that if JJ wins NFL Defensive Player of the Year, it would be a comeback on par with Tiger winning the Masters. Would you guys agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with it. It wouldn't get that same recognition, I don't think.
Because he had the 16 sacks this past season, and it didn't happen then. Because this was a great season that he just had.
It's one of those things where it's more subtle. Like, it's not as stark a contrast. Plus, he didn't go through a stretch where he had various mug shots or pictures of his face battered in or anything.
Off golf stuff aside.
That's the problem, is with Tiger, it was the whole package. Like, Tiger, it wasn't just, is he going to win another major? At one point, it was like, is Tiger ever going to be competitive again? So I think that, and you're right, Paul, it's been, well, Tiger was in contention for last year too, so it wasn't like it was all of a sudden that Tiger won this Masters.
If he had broken the sack record, maybe, but
sack record.
It's hard. Okay. It's hard to get on that Tiger level.
Winning a major is easier than breaking the sack record. Sack record's only been broken
definitely.
Twice
Absolutely.
In the last
definitely.
30
but
years.
I mean, if we're talking about how we would look at him the same way we're looking at Tiger Woods after his Masters win, that's what he would have to do.
No, but Tiger still isn't even the best golfer in the sport.
Right now.
Right. But we're winning defensive MVP, he'd be the best defensive player in the sport. That would be a bigger comeback. Tiger won a Masters, but he's not the best player in the sport.
But he had his 16. He had his 16 sacks.
I think there's more here. Let's discuss this here moving forward as well.